Joining us right now, the coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick. Mr. Belichick, how you doing today?
Oh, doing all right.
All right.
All right, Glenn.
Hey, Coach.
Fred, Steve. How
coach.
We doing?
All right, that one was ugly right from the beginning. I've heard a lot of players today talk about it and say it was a bad week. When you try to assess it today and go through and break it all down, what do you take into consideration in trying to figure out what went wrong? And did something go wrong during the course of the week? Maybe the attitude, maybe the approach by some of the players? Does that play into something like that?
No, I don't think it was an attitude thing. I just think we didn't. We obviously didn't play well or perform well at any level, coaching, playing, or anything else. And, you know, there are always mistakes during the week in practice. That's part of it. But we just, we didn't have a great week of practice, and we certainly didn't perform well yesterday. That's obvious. So just got to go back to work and improve on it this week.
Well, one of the big plays that turned the tide against you was Gronkowski waves for a fair catch. Was he called off on that? Because the running back came running up.
Sammy Morris.
And it looked like he had called him off because Gronk backed up, and then he hit him in the chest. Did he call him off on that?
Well, obviously, we had a miscommunication on the play. We just didn't handle it well. So, it's I think everybody's a little bit, got a little bit of responsibility in that. And we just got to do a better job. We did coach it better. We got to communicate it and execute better on the field.
Because, as close as these games have been, and you always say this, two or three plays in the game can change the entire tide. You have the ball back, you're down by three. They get the ball, they're down by 10. I mean, that especially at that, juncture of the game, yeah, Things start snowballing on you.
Yeah, well, no question. That's a big play, big turnover there. And we had a lot of other opportunities in the game. Similar to that, maybe not quite that big, but similar to that, where we just weren't able to take advantage of them. And that, generally when that's the case, that probably, means that we just didn't do things well enough.
Take us inside the locker room at half. You just had the fumble on the 2-yard line, could have grabbed some momentum back. What do you, not specifically, but generally, how are you talking to your team or after the usual process of evaluation?
I think at halftime the game was really played out about the way that we thought it would going into it, that they were doing pretty much what we expected them to do, and I just didn't think we were performing well at halftime. So we tried to encourage everybody to get going and just to do things better, that we were down by 10, but it wasn't like we were out of the game or anything. We just we just need to do a better job than we were doing. Just didn't do it.
When you go back to look at the film, Colt McCoy, pretty mobile quarterback, you had a couple opportunities, big game-changing opportunities. Sack on the 25-yard line, instead he rolls out and throws it to the 10. Another sack, I think Spikes came in, puts his hand up, and he goes underneath him and runs in for a touchdown. Was that the technical breakdown? They didn't have him on the right shoulder, or it just didn't break down, or Spikes? Because those are blitzes that came clean for you.
Yeah, well, it looked like we just missed him. And you're right, that third and four was a big one that led to a touchdown. That, that looked like, it was an opportunity to sack on. That would have been a field goal opportunity. And, it was 10-7 at that point, so they make the field goal. It's 13-7. We drive it down, able to hang on to the ball there at the end of the half. We could have reasonably, I think, with a couple plays different, we could have had the lead or been a lot closer to them at halftime. But that's... Again, those were good plays by them, mistakes by us, and we had too many of them, and that's, in the end, it all just, when you just don't do things well over a long period of time, you end up with a 20-point loss, and that's what it was, and that's probably about what it should have been.
You mentioned last week Peyton Hillis and warned us that he was a load, and yet this defense has done a good job stopping some good running backs, including one a week ago. What happened with Hillis yesterday? Where were the breakdowns there?
Yeah, we just didn't do a good job. So, again, we're all responsible for that. And we just, coaches, players, times it was responsibility, technique, sometimes tackling. But we just, in the end, we just obviously didn't do a good job. We got to perform a lot better than that as a unit.
It seemed when Vin was on, Wilfork was out of tackle, they were attacking the middle more. And I saw you moved them back in because they looked like they were hitting straight ahead dives with and double-teaming the nose tackle, and we're getting yardage on. Did you move Vinny back in there, Vince back in there because of that? Or was it just rotating?
No, we got into a couple rotation situations. We were out there a lot. We were trying to play multiple defensive linemen because we ended up being on the field for, more than we wanted to be with some of the drives and the third down conversions and all that. So, but Vince is a versatile guy. He can really play all three positions across the board, and moving him around was a little bit of function of who else was in there. You know, when Ron was in there at left end, and he stepped in and did a decent job for us. Then that gave us an opportunity to move Vince down inside.
When things are going south like that, as they were, is there anything specific you can point to for your team that has to happen or that they have to make happen to stem the tide a little bit? Is there anything in particular that you might want to point at, while you're on the sideline?
Well, no, I think the most important thing in that situation is just to take it one play at a time. I mean, you can't make up a 10-point lead in one play. It's impossible. But if you can just concentrate on this play, have one good play, all right, then have another one after that, then you start stringing them together. And I think that's really what you want to try to do. And we had a few of those, but we just couldn't obviously put enough of them together to really change the way things are going. So. But I think that's the way I would approach it, is just one play at a time and try to get a few strung together where you can start to regain a little bit of momentum and confidence and get things back to where you feel more on even footing.
You warned us last week also to watch out for some trick plays, that they always come up with trick plays, and they did come up with that play with Stuckey and Cribbs. Can they get away with that more than once? Had you seen that play at all where the whole offensive line is standing up? Had you seen that anywhere in video?
They hadn't run it this year, but I think there was a situation where they were trying to substitute and they ended up the defensive team, Cincinnati, ended up taking a timeout. Looking back on it, that's probably the play that they were.
So the play
they had called then, but they never lined up in the formation. You could never really see the play develop, but. So I imagine it's something they've been working on for a while, and we obviously didn't play it very well, and they were able to, get around a corner, and Cunningham wasn't able to catch him from behind, so we never really got him turned back in.
Well, both of these guys said they would be confused with it as
well. No, as a nose tackle, because I'm on the ball, and I see the center come down and put his hand on the ball, and the quarterback coming up, a lot of people can't see that, the linebacker, because the lineman is standing straight up. But when the quarterback comes up and the guy starts going under the center, Susie Pans puts his hand on the ball, but I do admit, if I went out there, I probably wouldn't have got down my stance because they were all standing up straight and kind of like chatting very casually. It was well disguised.
Yeah, the standing up kind of sold it, and the fact that they looked like they were confused. So I guess the normal tendency is that you stop playing when you see the other team confused. How do you deal with that? Obviously, they're not going to run the same play, but other teams are going to run stuff like that. How do you drill it into your guys that you got to continue to play in a situation like that?
Well, it's no different than in any play that we coach. Once the center puts his hands on the ball, everybody's ready to go. Once he's got his hands on it, he can snap it. Short snap, shotgun snap, wildcat snap, whatever it is. So.
You do the direct snap, the flock, when Tom does that thing. But you're right. If the guys are standing up and you catch them in it, they're dead because they can't come off the ball. They're standing straight up and down.
Does your offense miss Randy Moss and his ability to spread the field?
There's no doubt Randy's a good player, but I think we have a lot of good players on offense. I think our ability to move the ball and score points, that we've been able to do that. We didn't do it as much as we needed to yesterday. Part of that was, missing some opportunities. Mm-hmm. We need to take better advantage of those.
Bill, when they came out on the fourth down, they were up by 10, and they were on their side of the field. And did you think they were going to run it? And they went from a tight, and then they spread it out in order to get you guys spread out. What was the thought process going through that? When you saw that?
In the first quarter?
Remember they came out in the fourth down? Was the first quarter? Yeah, they're up by 10.
It was fourth and short, and looked like they were trying to draw us offside. And then when they spread out, then the next thing you've got to be alert for is that they would quarterback sneak it. And that's what we were looking for. We just didn't obviously play it well enough. So they picked it up. But that was the play, and they... Yeah, like a lot of things yesterday, they did a better job on it than we did.
And Colt McCoy, rolling out of the pocket, I haven't seen much of him this year, but some of the plays he made and some of the his reaction to the defense and his execution were well beyond anything I've seen of a rookie. He played extremely well in some pressure situations, rolling out with pressure on him.
Well, yeah, they try to get him out of the pocket on on some plays, and they did that. They've done that the past couple of weeks, bootleg plays and stuff like that. Then he scrambled out a couple times on his own, but that I don't think that was that. It wasn't anything that was unexpected. You know, you still have to defend him. You have to defend him on the move and find the receivers on those pass plays that extend a little bit longer because he buys time to get out of the pocket. So, you know, that's an issue. But it wasn't – I mean, those are plays we've seen before, plays that we've seen them run or versions of them. And we just – as I said, we just got to do a better job.
Bill, with the injury to Gostkowski, do you have to bring another kicker in this week?
Well, we might. We don't know exactly where we are with that one. We'll take a look at it and see what happens. I mean, if he can't kick, then we obviously do. And for how long that would be, that's, you know, that would be another part of it. But I just don't know the answers to the question right now.
Are there enough guys out there? Because Detroit apparently is bringing kickers in today. They obviously need one as well. Does that make it more difficult, or are there enough guys that you could use for a couple of weeks and get by?
Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. We've worked out players at every position over the course of the first 8 weeks of the regular season, and we'll either rely on some of that information or possibly bring one of the ones we've had or maybe one of the ones that we didn't have, depending on how the what's available out there and evaluate the situation if we determine that he's not able to kick this week.
Coach, a lot of people are calling about Tom yelling at some guys or talking to him, instructing him. How much confusion is it, because there's a lot of new guys out there, with the routes that are run and the routes that should be run, because Tom's, you know, calling back, of course, Woodhead made a mistake on one. Is there some miscommunication with all these young kids and new kids out there with some of the execution with the offensive game plan as far as the passing concern?
Well, yeah, we had a couple plays yesterday, Fred, that were one player thought it was one thing and the other players thought it was something else, and so we had a couple of those. I don't think it's a question of new players, or I think it's just a question of actually hearing the play or making sure that you hear the right thing. Sometimes words might sound a little bit similar. We try not to let that happen and try to have our code words be distinct, but every once in a while a player will think he heard one thing, but it was actually something else and that type of thing. So I don't think it's the new players. I think it's just the actual hand signals or verbal communication being clear and precise enough.
I noticed was it Eric Wright, cornerback, was covering Hernandez a lot yesterday. Have you seen that before, and you anticipate seeing a lot of it?
Well, Eric Wright's really their he's their nickel corner. He always plays inside, so because Aaron lined up in the inside position, in a lot of the formations that he's in there on. Mm-hmm. If they treated him as a receiver, which they did clearly, then he that would be the guy he would match up on. If the formation were set up differently, then he would be on, which he was also on West too. So, or he was on Edelman
right.
on the play on the interception. So, he basically would line up to the inside wide receiver in the formation, whoever that happened to be. Based on who we had in the game.
So if you get more teams will treat him like a receiver, even though he's...
That's really the way most teams have treated him. Last week in the Minnesota game, it was Winfield.
Yep.
So I think teams are looking at him as, as a receiver more than a tight end, kind of like we did with Moore for Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. So. Is there a defensive plan going against you guys, more coverage than blitz? It didn't look like they blitzed very much.
They did both. They ran some man coverage. They ran some pressure. They ran some zone pressure, and then they also dropped off into a three-man rush and played some zone and man with that. So I think the idea was to mix it up and to just try to keep the offense off balance and not just keep doing the same thing, but try to give the same look and do different things, or give a couple of different looks and do the same thing.
Got a lot of young players in the past. You've had a lot of veteran presence, not that you don't have some of it right now, but there was a lot made last week. You kind of wrote it off, 6-1 after seven games. You haven't won anything, but could it be that some young players kind of bought into some of that hype, Bill, and maybe got a little too comfortable?
Well, I don't think any of that was coming from around here, so again, we can't really worry about what all the external opinions and commentary is. I mean, the most important, whether it's good or bad, because we've had both. I mean, the most important thing is focus on the job at hand, the team we're playing, the preparation, that we have for the week and do a good job on that. And that's really what we emphasize every day, every week. And I think our players understand that. And as much commentary as there is, you know, externally, it, whether it's good or bad, it's not really that pertinent to our preparation. So we try to, you know, we try not to really be, you know, really react to it one way or the other.
Because we always talk about, well, everyone talks about trap game. You know, you played a bunch of games where all tough teams come down to Cleveland and haven't been winning. Will the guys take it lightly? You prepare, like you said, the exact same way. Don't emphasize or de-emphasize anything.
Well, there was nothing about Cleveland that would indicate that. They they played a great game against New Orleans 2 weeks ago. Then they had the bye week, and their record coming off the bye has been, you know, outstanding. It was last year, and they ended up having a strong finish to their season. So, you know, we knew they were a good football team. We saw them play well against New Orleans. And we knew that they were a good team with extra time to prepare and get healthy and all that, like all teams have when they have a bye week. I mean, it's always a good time to come into the next game when you have that extra week of preparation and extra week for everybody to get a little healthier. So I don't think that was an issue.
All right, let's put this one in the rearview mirror. We'll take a 90-second break. When we come back, we'll look at Sunday night's opponent. It's the Steelers. We'll take a peek at that coming up next. Back here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, it's Patriots Monday. I'm Glenn Ordway, Freddie Spurla, Steve DiAsi, the coach, Bill Belichick. It's our Monday session with the coach. Sunday night game, Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, this is a team you guys know quite well.
Almost feels like a division game.
It does, doesn't it? It's like Indianapolis. It almost seems like a division game. You play them so often.
Not only that, they win so often.
Yeah, San Diego.
They do. Yeah, another team. Based on this last game and the fact that Cleveland had such an easy time running the football against your defense, and this is a team that likes to run the football a little bit, do teams do that? Do they emphasize a weakness based on something that they've just seen from the last game? Because if they look 3 weeks ago, you guys defended the run quite well.
Well, I'm sure they'll test us out. No doubt about that. I'm sure they'll test us out.
They run everything, and also their quarterback is a tough guy to bring down. So they want to test the corners. You saw some of the, you know, the bigger guys out leap anybody, and who throws better under pressure than him?
Well, that's one thing Ben really does a good job of is staying in the pocket. He's a hard guy to bring down, and then he scrambles out, gets his eyes downfield, and is good on the deep balls on the scrambles. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll get tested on all those things.
But when you talk about Pittsburgh, you know, they're the ones that probably help write the law about the hits in the helmet because, you know, Harrison is a beast, and they bring pressure, and they have all kinds of different stunts with the linemen. How difficult it is to defend a team that brings all those different variations on defense to it, Patcher?
Well, they do. They give you a lot of blitz zone combinations, and you certainly have to make sure you have everybody accounted for. You cut one of those guys loose, and you could be looking at a big negative play or a turnover. So protection and assignments in the running game, making sure you have a hat on everybody, you get everybody blocked, that'll be a big key for us against the Steelers, no question.
Well, speaking of that key, how did Logan Mankins play last week, and how's he moved into the rotation rather easily?
Well, I think Logan had a good week of practice. He, you know, got a lot of reps and played a significant amount in the game yesterday. So it's first game. I think that though it'll continue to improve with a little more work and so forth. I mean, I think he did a good job, but he'll, you know, I'm sure that they're, I'm sure it'll be better, and I think there are things that he can definitely do better. But he, you know, it's good to have him back. Yep. Certainly good to have him back.
He fit right in. I mean, it looks like the communication was real well with them. They were moving properly, didn't make any mistakes. And that's surprising. He didn't have any training camp, any games. And how's a guy staying, especially an offensive lineman?
Four guys are going to do that.
No, but offensive lineman, the big thing is working together as a unit. When you're out there by yourself trying to work out, that's not very easy.
Well, no, that's right. One thing, and that's still a challenge. I mean, we had a couple things come up that, you know, that I think we'll handle more smoothly going forward. But Logan's a smart guy, and he has a lot of experience in our system, and so there's not a lot of new terminology or not a lot of changes in our offensive line blocking schemes or pass protections or blitz pickups and things like that from what it's been in the past. So it's just more a question of him getting his timing and getting the you know, the recognition and the timing down than it is, you know, learning a lot of, well, what are we going to do on this, what are we going to do on that. I think that part of it came back to him pretty quickly. It's just more of, you know, seeing it at game speed and making adjustments or passing stunts off with his teammates there, with Copen and with Light and so forth, both in the running game and the passing game, that's where it, that timing will, you know, I'm sure improve.
You put Conley in there at right tackle for Neal a few times. Was that to rest or was it just to try him out at right side? Or,
I got well, it was, right, yeah, it was really a kind of a three-man rotation there, all three, you know, all three guys play.
Pittsburgh Steelers defense, stingy once again. What difference does Troy Polamalu make out there on that field with that defense?
Oh, he makes a big difference. He's a very instinctive player. They give him a lot of freedom where he can, you know, I don't want to say do things on his own, but do things on his own. He gets a run read, and he might have a coverage responsibility, but he'll just shoot the gap and try to make the play, and he's very good at disguising coverages. A lot of times he walks around the line of scrimmage and then ends up 15, 20 yards deep. So he's a hard guy to key on. He's a playmaker, and he's very instinctive. If he can sniff something out, he'll hit it, and a lot of times you don't have him accounted for because that's not where he's supposed to be, but he just anticipates the play and is aggressive and will try to make it.
It's hard sometimes because he does bite on things. He is so aggressive. So if you can get the right play called to get him behind him, he will bite on some stuff underneath.
He will, and that sounds good. It's just a question of being able to get the right thing at the right time because they mix it up a lot. And sometimes he, like I said, sometimes he's up there and he goes deep. Sometimes he's up there and he blitzes. Sometimes he's up and he's in a short coverage responsibility. So he does a good job of keeping you honest. And in their scheme, they have a number of different things for him to do. So you never know for sure whether he's going to be on the strong side or on the weak side or, you know, exactly or whether he's going to drop down in the middle. And so finding him is a little bit of a problem.
Is their offensive line as good as they've been in the past?
They do a good job. Yeah, they do a good job. They're big, they're physical, and you know, they like to run the ball. And, of course, if they can get ahead and kind of control the game where they can run it and throw it on their terms, then they're even more effective. So they've got a good, you know, good group of receivers, good running game, good offensive line. They're pretty well balanced.
With the new emphasis, not new emphasis, but with the emphasizing of hits on the quarterback, how do you deal with a guy like Ben Roethlisberger who can escape from so many situations through strength and size? How do you deal with your defensive players in that situation?
Well, he's certainly a challenge, and it's tough, as you know, Steve, when you've got a big guy like that, that if you don't knock him down, then he just kind of keeps going and gets extra yardage or breaks out of your grasp and they keep the play alive. But if you go in there and hit him and knock him back and it's late, then so you got to, you know, you've got to be careful about that and just make sure you're really, you know, conscious of what the, you know, when the whistle blows and all that. But also, as far as where you hit them, I mean, we know by the rule that you can't hit them above the shoulders and you can't hit them below the knees and you can't launch and go helmet first. So those things are in play, whether it's this quarterback or any other quarterback. You've got to keep your head up. You got to see what you hit and not lead with the helmet and keep your contact between the knees and the shoulders. And that's that's how we have to deal with every quarterback, but that's, you know, it's just the discipline that the defensive players have to have, and that's not always easy because the receivers or runners or quarterbacks, whoever it is, we're hitting is are moving or they're falling or they're twisting or whatever, and it's not always a real clean situation. They have to just try to adjust and stay within the rules.
I'll go back to what we've been saying about this other role and talking about Ben Roethlisberger, because a lot of guys are, you think they're within the grasp and you're going to get the whistle blown, it's going to stop dead. I almost think because he's got the ability to continue to drag three guys on his shoulder, that he might get a longer whistle. I mean, do you talk about that with your players, saying we got to treat this guy a little bit differently, that, you know, normally a guy's in the grasp, this guy maybe buys a little bit more time from the officials because of his ability to break loose?
Well, I think the big thing is you just got to really wrap him up and make sure you get him. And it's not easy. He's not an easy guy to bring down. So that's a big challenge. But you always have to be alert for the whistle and the hits in the pocket and all that. We know that they're going to call that close every week, regardless of who the quarterback is or how big or little the guy is. I don't think it really matters. We know that's going to be a close call. And just defensively, you have to be really be alert and pay attention to where you're hitting the guy and how you're hitting them. So that's the emphasis, and we've always taught that. There's nothing new there. It's just more of a just part of heightening the awareness of it.
Yeah, heightening, because they're charging you $50,000 if you make a mistake. So it seems to be a very difficult thing to deal with when you tell your guys try and hit them, and like last week against Favre, hits him in the chest, it slides up, hit him in the jaw, and he gets fined $7,500. Are you cautious that you don't want to overemphasize so guys stop hitting? I saw in Dallas last night the safety pulled up on one and the guy ran for a touchdown. So you don't want to make them so cautious that they're not going to hit a tackle, you know, the running back, in fear of getting a fine.
Well, right. We definitely don't want to do that. At the same time, defensively, we all know our job is to get the guy with the ball down. So, but again, I think the big coaching point is just to do it the right way. Yeah, to do it properly, and then there won't be a problem when the defenders are careless, when they put their head down, or they try to basically when they don't see what they're hitting, then they have a chance to hit somewhere where they're not supposed to.
Time right now for today's Coach's Question of the Week, brought to you by AutoTrader.com. Compare new and used cars side by side at AutoTrader.com, the ultimate automotive marketplace and proud partner of Patriots football. Steve has got this week's question.
I thought it was Fred's turn.
No, it's Steve's turn. When's Mankin coming back?
That's right.
I can't use
my Mankin's questions anymore. One of the big subjects today, Tom Brady, is he throwing the ball as well as he has in the past?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think Tom's arm's good. His delivery, his accuracy is good. Yeah, I do.
Good enough.
That was quick.
That was a good question.
That was unbelievable.
Good answer,
good question.
Good answer, Bill.
Huh? You stole it from the callers earlier.
I did not. I just answered the cry of the public. That's what I am.
You're a man of the public.
I'm the ombudsman for the public. All right.
Crying to the public.
How's that word?
Is that what you said?
Ombudsman.
That's a good word.
All right, Coach. Good luck on Sunday night down there in Pittsburgh.
Luck,
we'll see you back here on Monday.
All right. Sounds
good. Have a
good
one.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay. Bill Belichick, right here on Patriots Monday in the Big Show.